brought it out here and actually played with it and actually played with it?
Yeah.
Are you one of those people that has to know how much the Babe Ruth ball is actually worth?
I was going to bring it back,
but it was signed by Babe Ruth.
Yeah, you keep telling me that. Who is she?
We'll keep it right here because today is your lucky day.
The Sultan of Clouds.
King of Crash.
The Colossus of Clouds. The Colossus of Clouds.
It's time for Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan, sponsored by ERC Delivery and Huggins and Scott Auctions.
The Great Bambino!
Good morning, I'm Tom Morgan from Triple Crown in Naperville with Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery, Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions, and our producer Erica Strowski. We're on every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. Central Time, taking your questions about the value of your collectibles. And we're talking about collectibles that will be in the Huggins and Scott May auction starting tomorrow. And also things that people bring into Triple Crown in Naperville during the week, and I tweet pictures of them. We have a lot to talk about today. The number's 312-332-3776 if you want to give us a call and get in the drawing. We're giving away actually a little different prize this week. It's John Drummond's book, It Ain't Pretty But It's Real, and John Drummond signed it. So I tweeted a picture. T-Crown Tom is my Twitter ID of he signed it. Best wishes, John Drummond, Channel 2 News. Bulldog Drummond was a great guest on the show a couple weeks ago, and I've got signed books in T-Crown now.
Yep,
from him.
I bought one yesterday.
Yeah, he's got two different books, and what an interesting life John Drummond has had. I'll tell you, I haven't read the book yet, but it's got to be entertaining without a doubt.
I just read a few passages, very entertaining, for,
yeah.
Sure, for sure.
So that's going to be the prize, the winner. All the winner will have to do is email Vince at ERC Delivery, and Vince will deliver, his company will deliver ERC free of charge to the winner. He'll do the drawing at the end of the show. And Bill Huggins, now bidding starts tomorrow for the May auction at HugginsandScott.com. It goes May 9th through May 19th. I tweeted a photo of the John L. Sullivan 1890 N310 Mayo cut plug boxing card graded SGC 5.5. That's like a classic 1800s photo that, yep. of John L. Sullivan on that one. You have lots of great stuff going, Bill.
Yeah, we do. I'll tell you, we've been getting lots of calls. I guess everybody's gotten their catalog, or most people, hopefully. And, gosh, yesterday they were calling all day long. How come I can't bid? It won't work. You know?
What's it? It starts Monday around noon, right?
Yes.
So tomorrow at noon you can begin bidding. Go to HugginsandScott.com to check out all the items. Bill, I had a couple of neat things yesterday at Triple Crown. One of them, I got an email and I put it on Twitter. Steve via Twitter had, as a youngster, during I guess maybe late 50s and then in through the 60s, he used to send away to get autographs of players. And he had some good ones. He had Koufax and Mays and Roger Maris. And he sent me pictures of some of them, and I tweeted this one, and I want to ask you a couple things about it. First off, I think it might be a secretarial signature just by looking at some of the other ones and, that have passed as legitimate Clementis, it's on a signed on a black and white photo, and it's personalized to Steve. So if, let's say this is a real Clementi signature, it gets authenticated, and with the personalization on a black and white photo, on a more valuable photo like that, how much is the personalization, how much does that affect the value of an item like that?
Well, I mean, I think we have 481 Steves on our mailing list.
There you go. And hopefully at least two of them really want it then, if it's in a Huggins and Scott auction. So, I mean,
you're right. Yeah, you're right. It can't affect it. I mean, you know, I guess if it was me, I would probably want something signed rather than personalized. But it's not the end all by any means. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that it kind of adds a little character to it that a lot of times it may not be secretarial if it's personalized. But I saw the picture, the one you put up, and you're right. It doesn't look consistent with a lot of the others I've seen.
No, I've seen that. I have a feeling it's a secretarial. I mean, I don't know for sure. Somebody at T-Crown yesterday said, well, maybe he took more time on this because, you know, he was sending a photo. But I doubt that. I would think it's probably secretarial. But like I always say, I'm not an autograph authenticator, an autograph expert. I handle things that are authenticated by the experts. And that's why there are companies like PSA, DNA, and JSA for things like that you'd like to carry them, but you're not sure if it's real or not. But then, Bill, another customer yesterday, Jim is a regular customer to T-Crown, and he had said he listens to the show, and he had said that he knew he had some programs from his father that were signed, and he found them, brought some in yesterday. The one I tweeted a picture of was really kind of neat. It was a 1961 Bears program, and it had Bill George, Hall of Fame linebacker, who John Drummond really thought was a fantastic player and kind of gets ignored in all the great Bears linebackers in history. But an interesting thing in here, together with their names right together on this are Willie Gallimore and John Farrington, and that was the two Bears who ended up dying in the car crash in 1964 in the summer training camp. So it was almost kind of eerie seeing those two signatures right next to each other on this program. I don't remember what, I think Farrington might have been driving, but
yeah, that's what I heard too.
I think so. I'm not 100% sure. But anyway, then Jim, you would like this one, Bill. Jim was saying, oh, by the way, I think it was a friend of his whose parents knew Roberto Clemente real well has a Clemente game-used bat. And he said when we were talking about values of it, looking up some of them, it seems like they go a minimum $5,000 or $6,000, and some of them can go as high as $30,000 or $40,000. I was looking at one. I don't know if you're probably familiar with this, but I didn't even realize this. The early Clemente bats, I don't know if all of them, but a lot of them, he had a nickname as a child, Momen, M-O-M-E-N, where I guess he used to tell his parents Momentito a lot of times to, like, blow him off when they wanted him to do something. So he had Momen Clemente was stamped on a lot of his early bats going, I think, up maybe until 1960, and those bats, if you have those earlier bats, as far as I can tell, those go for quite a bit more. Is that right up, is that what you know of also, Bill?
Oh, yes, absolutely. You know, most of the time, I guess it would be a rule of thumb, the earlier bats in a player's career probably sell for more than the later bats in their career, and that was the kind of one of the trademark things for his earlier bats was that Momen nickname on there. So, yeah, that would be a great item for the auction. For
yeah,
sure.
So I'm not sure which one his friend has, but I think at the least he's going to, if he doesn't bring it into T-Crown to show me, he's going to send me a picture of it, and then, you know, we can give an estimate from there. But like I was saying, if that goes in a Huggins and Scott auction, you can bet we'll be talking about that one on the show. I love stuff like that. So, yeah, a lot of interesting stuff going on. We've got Lenny from Orland Park is on the line. What's new, Lenny? What's up?
Hey, Tom. How you guys doing? Hi, Bill.
We're doing great.
Hey, Lenny.
Yeah, I can't wait for the auction. Got your catalog a couple days ago. And I'm really proud to have my pieces in your auction. I've got on the cover of your book, you put my Tom Brady replica Super Bowl trophy on there, which he only signed 12 of those, and you know Brady doesn't sign a lot of those.
Oh, I was actually going to mention that one today. So he only signed 12 of those, huh? How did you come up with that?
Well, he was in Boston, I think, doing hearings last summer, and he did 12 of those with TriStar. And it's not one of those replica trophies that have the big base on it. This is an actual Super Bowl trophy, actual size. It it was a very cool piece to get. And again, Brady doesn't sign a lot, but he was in Boston over the summer, and they did 12 signings with 12 trophies with him. So, and I got one of them, and
that's going to be auction. That'll be interesting to see what that goes for. That's got a $500 minimum bid. So, that was pretty cool. And also, the other one, I think the 3,000 Hit Club collage is yours also, right, Lenny?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you got Larry LaJoy on there. You got Ty Cobb. You got Clemente.
Honus Wagner.
Yeah. It's a beautiful piece. It was put together. We spent a lot of time putting that together with a brass piece in there with the hits. And
very cool.
I'm just excited to see how this auction goes. And don't forget the Three Stooges, man.
Now, what do you have? You have something. So you were a Three Stooges collector, too. What do you have of the Stooges in the auction?
Larry Fine, before he passed away, he was getting a lot of letters in, and he put out a book. The book didn't go over real well, but I have a letter that he wrote back to one of his fans, and he put the Three Stooges stamp on it, and it said, basically he was in bad health, 1971, I believe. And I have the actual letter and the envelope that he mailed this guy the response to go get a book and be part of the fan club kind of thing. And Larry Fine didn't sign a lot of things.
Yeah, that'll be interesting what that does. Now, were you also, did you do like Stooges cards from the Fleer set or anything like that? Or is was that your big Stooge collectible?
No, I did. I got the Moe, Larry, and Curly, one, two, and three PSA graded. Moe's a 7. I got 6 on Curly.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, they're in the auction also.
Oh, they're in the auction also. What was that, 1958 or 59?
Yeah, it was 59. That first set that came
59.
Out.
59. 59 Fleer, yep. Stooges. I can't believe on my board I've got all these things. I've got things like,
I see nothing. I know nothing.
And yet I don't have the Stooges on there.
Well, we'll have to add it on for next week.
Yeah, I mean, you would think there would have been something for sure, Stooges on the board.
You would have to think, yeah.
All right, well, thanks, Lenny. Bidding starts tomorrow.
Looking forward to it.
It's going to be fun to watch.
Okay, Tom.
All right, some neat stuff.
Yeah, have a great day. Okay,
very good. Bill Huggins, that's the Huggins and Scott auction. Bidding starts tomorrow, May 9th, goes through May 19th. Let's see, some other neat items that will be in the auction. I actually tweeted a picture of this one, too. A couple of things here. There's a 1952 Topps Mickey Mantle card, graded PSA 5 MC, card number 311. With a 15,000 minimum bid. That 52 Topps Mantle card is so hot. It's incredible. And also from 1952. Now here's something I had no idea about and gives me even more when we get the time machine. We want to go back to 1952. In addition to stopping that tugboat that was going to dump all the 1952 cards into the ocean, we got to pick up a bunch of Tip Top bread. Because, right, Mel, there's a lot of 12 Tip Top bread labels, including two Hall of Famers with a $750 minimum bid. I didn't even realize there was such a thing. Have you run that before, Tip Top bread labels, Bill?
Yeah, we've had some in there before, and actually there's more than that lot of 12. That was sort of the rest of them. There's about, I want to say 10 or 12 more that run as singles. I think there's a Spawn and a Barra and a bunch of other different ones that are in there as singles, but these are pretty high grade too. This guy has, and we also have the little, it's a fold out display thing that you would insert the bread labels in at, under each person's name to display them. So this guy must have put these things in there right after he took them off the head of the bread, and they sat there until we popped them out last month or 2 months ago.
Wow, that's amazing. I that was something, you know, when I saw that I just thought, there are certain times that you see things that are that valuable, and if somebody brought that into Triple Crown, I wouldn't say, no, that's not valuable. When I saw the names and the age, I'd say, well, let me look into that one. I guess I would think it could be valuable, but not as valuable as they actually are. It's like, whoa.
We actually have the Mickey. He had a Mickey Mantle, and that's going to be in the August docs.
A Mickey Mantle from the Tip Top. Oh, my gosh. What is that? Have any of those sold recently? What do those even go for?
They're $5,000 to $10,000, but we got this graded. It's the highest graded one ever.
Okay, well, then I think who knows? That's going to be a fun one to watch. Mickey Mantle, 52 Tip Top Brett. Oh, well, the number here is 312-332-3776. We're on until 9 a.m. taking your questions about the value of your collectibles. We're giving away a John Drummond signed book. It ain't pretty, but it's real. He said if you don't like the book, you can always wrap fish in it. That's what John Drummond said. So I put a picture of the book on there, too. Give us a call. It's time for a short break. But hang in there. We'll be right back.
Now back to Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan. Sponsored by ERCDelivery.com and Huggins and Scott Auctions on ESPN 1000 and ESPNChicago.com.
Welcome back. I'm Tom Morgan from Triple Crown in Naperville with Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery and Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions. We're on every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. Central Time on this radio station and also on the ESPN app. We'll be on 8 to 9 until the football season starts. Then when Jeff Meller's fantasy football show comes back in September, we'll move back to 7 to 8. But till then, 8 to 9 every Sunday morning, taking your questions about the value of your collectibles and the numbers 312-332-3776. You can give us a call with a question about an item. And if you tweet me a picture of an item, T-Crown Tom is my Twitter ID. If we use that on the show, you'll also get in the drawing. We're giving away a John Drummond signed book. It ain't pretty, but it's real. And he said, if you don't like it, you can always wrap fish in it. So you got something, you know, you can, and I don't know why you wouldn't like it. It's got to be good. I haven't read it yet, but it's got to be good. Now the Huggins and Scott May auction bidding begins tomorrow, goes May 9th through May 19th, and lots of good items in there. Some real cool Lou Gehrig items. Now, if you wanted to get a Lou Gehrig original Gaudi card, but you don't want to break the bank, there's a 1934 Gaudi card number 61 graded SGC 1.5, and his other card is graded SGC 1.5. So if that would be a good card to get. If you like the looks of them and you're doing it more for collecting than wanting to get the best graded one, $200 minimum bid on the Gehrigs. Will be interesting to see what happens with those. There's also a neat Lou Gehrig cut signature framed display with a $400 minimum bid. So bidding starts tomorrow. And did you guys happen to notice that, Bill, I think if you've run Mo Berg items in your catalogs, in your auctions before, did you see there's a movie coming out about Mo Berg? They just announced, who would you guess would be the actor? It's a pretty big name actor that's going to play Mo Berg. If you're not familiar with Mo Berg, he was a catcher during, I think, mainly the 1930s. And he was also a genius. And he was actually a spy for the United States government. They took a tour of Japan, and they're like, why is Mo Berg along with like, you know, Lou Gehrig and Babe Ruth and whatever? And I guess he was taking photos in Japan, you know, for the U.S. government. And also, Casey Stengel called him strange. Casey Stengel maybe was one of the strangest guys.
Yeah, that's probably a compliment to Mo Berg then. For sure.
Yeah, if he calls him strange, you know there's something there. But who would you guess would be the main actor? Vince, you lead off.
You know, I think a Russell Crowe could probably pull it off wonderfully if Crowe was
that. He probably could, but it's not him. Not Bill, you want to make a guess who would be playing Mo Berg in the upcoming movie? Let's see, what hint could I get? I think he's actually considered probably more of a comic actor.
God. I have no clue. When is it supposed to come out, the movie?
I think they're just have started production of it, but probably, what is, movies usually take a year, year and a half before, you know, where they announce everybody and
like
it actually
Vince Vaughn,
comes out.
Comic actor Vince Vaughn?
Vince Vaughn would have, you know, that's a good guess, but it's not him. But I'm thinking, Bill, if you know guys that have some real good Mo Berg items and they're debating whether to sell it or not, around the time the movie comes out would probably be a real good time to auction his stuff because it'll be getting a lot of publicity. Anybody else want to make one more guess, or do you want me to tell you?
Go ahead.
It is Paul Rudd.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. And they were questioning whether he'd be good or not, but I guess Paul Rudd is actually a big baseball fan. So I think it could be
pretty well.
I really want to see this movie
because
what a character. If they do it right, it could be just an excellent movie. It'll be interesting to see what happens with it. But yeah, we'll follow along in that. We'll announce when it's coming out and Bill, get your Mo Berg cards ready to auction when the movie comes out. Winfred from the West Side is online. What do you have there, Winfred? Thanks for the call.
Yes, Tom and Bill. I have a sign. Al Hirt frame autograph, personal autograph by Al Hirt,
the old
great trumpet player.
Yeah, trumpet player. Now, I don't know. I have never seen anything run of him. And Vince, Vince, did you, nothing on eBay either?
No autos on eBay. A couple postcards from the 2000 New Orleans Jazz Fest for $6. But
okay, it's a signed photo, Winfred?
It's a signed frame about 36 by 30. The artist on there, I think, is Michael Hunter.
Oh, so it's actually like a painting of him?
We just like a painting of him. It has a Grammy on there. I have to shoot a picture to you.
Yeah,
like,
do that.
It's a big frame. I got it from a thrift store.
Really? I would think a lot would depend then how many were produced, who the artist was, how big a name of an artist. Because Al Hirt built
Green Hornet, man. He played
trumpet player
for the Green Hornet.
I knew Al Hirt. I recognized the name, but I don't think just by themselves, like an 8x10 of Al Hirt would sell for that much. Would it, Bill, or am I wrong?
I don't know that we've ever sold any of them.
Yeah, I haven't seen many, so I guess who knows? Maybe it would be, but don't you think that a painting that he signed would have some potential, Bill?
Sure. Do we know when he died?
Al Hirt. Well,
90. I think it was like 99.
Yeah,
99.
I think it came out. I think it's a picture, a tribute to him. Came out. I think right after he died.
Yeah.
Yeah, April 99. He died.
That would be interesting to see. I would think it's send a picture and. You know, if you think you want to auction it, give Bill Huggins a call during the week, 301-608-0355. You guys could talk about it. It might be something, depending on all those variables, it might be something that would turn out to be a pretty good auction item.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for the call.
And I'll hold on and get the number again.
Okay, the number for Huggins and Scott is 301-608-0355. So that would be, I want to see the picture of it. Hopefully he can maybe tweet a picture or email a picture and I'll tweet it later if he does. That would be cool. Next on the line, we have, let's see who's been waiting. Chris from Bucktown's on the line. What do you have there, Chris?
I had two I wanted to tell you about. First, I have it's a Leaf insert card with a piece of Babe Ruth game used bat from when he was on the Boston Red Sox.
Okay, is that one that just came out this year?
I believe so.
Yeah. I think they made a lot of those in that product, which probably would make that less valuable than you might think. Is it serial numbered like 3 of 10 or anything like that, if it was his jersey number? But
1 of 3.
Okay,
yeah,
1 of 3.
There's a few that closed on eBay, one at 172, another at about 170. So
that were numbered to 3?
There you go. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's actually better than I thought they would go for. But being that low numbered, I guess that's good. So,
my other one is it's the Cubs Memorial Day hat where they have the camouflage on the bill. It's Jake Arrieta's game-used hat signed from last year's Memorial Day game as Cy Young year.
A game-used hat?
Yeah.
Oh, that...
Arrieta, like, wrote his number on the inside of it. It's verified from, like...
MLB?
Memorabilia auction.
Did you get that on the Cubs MLB auction site? I saw they had an Arrieta jersey on there that was going for a lot.
I got it at the, when you go to Wrigley, they have that Cubs auction stand, and I got it right after the Memorial Day game last year when obviously everyone knew he was good, but it was right before the insane stretch of time. I don't think you would find that there now.
Now, at that time, what was it, $500 or $600 that they sold it to you for, or how much?
$350.
I think that would, if you, and it has the MLB hologram on it?
Yeah.
Okay, I think if you sold that now, Arrieta is so hot, I think that might break a grand pretty easily right now, especially, like, let's say you put it in an August Huggins and Scott auction, and let's say the Cubs keep rolling like they're rolling now, and he keeps rolling like he's rolling now. I mean, don't you think, Bill, the sky might be the limit on him, because there's not that much stuff of him out. I mean, there's not a lot of autographed cards that were in the products. Not a lot of neat stuff of him. I think that would do very well.
Oh, absolutely. And you couldn't, like you said, you couldn't pick a better time than August, especially if the Cubs are as good as they are right now. They'll be even hotter.
You know, we were talking about the Cubs. I never remember a time in my life. I mean, the Cubs have had good teams. They've had playoff teams. They've even had teams that you thought maybe they could make it to the World Series, maybe even win the World Series. But I never remember a time ever during my lifetime where I thought, right now, this team just looks like the best team in baseball, and nobody even looks close.
They're steamrolling.
Right
now. They're finding ways to win it. It's kind of reminiscent of 1984 Cubs, where they just kept finding ways to win in 84. Just somebody
would
step
up. Yeah, but they never felt this dominant.
This is over the top.
And
sure,
whether they'll keep it up, I mean, I thought they were about as hot as they could get the last couple months of last regular season, but they're coming right through now. Whenever somebody makes a mistake, they take advantage, like, immediately. Yep. And Arrieta, I thought he was on a roll the last 2 months. He can't do that again. He's as good or better.
He's pitching today, Bill, against your Washington team.
Washington.
Yeah, boy, they seem to have our number, too.
They have everybody's number. I was actually on Twitter pleading to Dusty to take Scherzer out on Friday.
Because
it was like it looks like they paid him $210 million to pitch batting practice with the Cubs. They were hitting moonshots off him. And not that it had anything to do with my fantasy team or anything.
Of course it did. Actually, you predicted the Cubs' success a couple years ago.
Figure the year that I thought that it was when they were still really struggling and people were saying they're not going to even have a chance till 2020 or later. And I said, I told you, I think 2017, I said, I bet they win the World Series in 2017.
You thought Epstein was making some good moves early on in his, tenure there. So
I thought it didn't seem that he had to do to the extent that he did, but when you look at it now, how good they are, you can't really argue. And I really like what the Ricketts owners, they hire the best guy, let him do what he wants to do, and then if they need money, they give it to him. I like the management style too. So we'll see what happens. I keep thinking they can't keep this up there. So, and the White Sox are, I think they have the best record in the American League, and yet it doesn't feel that same dominance that the Cubs are just.
Yeah, well, it's nice to see some energy from Ventura the other night in arguing with an umpire. So he brought some of that energy out. So
I like Ventura. I think he just needed. He needs the right team, the right players. I've told you in the past, he kind of reminds me of a Joe Torre. When Joe Torre managed Atlanta and the Mets, everybody thought he was a bad manager, but then he goes to the Yankees, and he was perfect for that team. Yep. And I think their personalities are very similar. You just have any manager has to have the right guys, I guess. Nico from Chicago's on the line. You can get us off our tangent here. Nico, what do you have?
Hi. I have Jimmy Butler shoes from his last game of the season.
Really? How'd you get those?
Well, I was going where they come out of the at the end of the game.
Yeah.
And I was like, Jimmy, you're my favorite. You're my favorite player.
How could he turn you down with pleading like that? Huh?
And then he was like, well, if you're my favorite player, then you have to have my shoes.
Really? Wow. You're kidding. Wow. Yeah. Now that is really neat. Jimmy Butler stuff is, it's questions whether he's on the trade market. I think the Bulls would trade him if they got a good enough offer for him, but it would have to be a great offer. I would imagine he'll still be there, but to me, either Rose or Butler, a good chance one of them will be traded. But meanwhile, he's turned into one of the better players in the league, and his stuff has very good value to it. Bill Huggins, have you ever run or seen Jimmy Butler game-worn shoes sell?
I don't think we have. It may be something worth holding on to right now,
yeah,
rather than selling right now. I bet if they were mine. Plus, you can't sell them with that story that he just told about.
Yeah, right. Yeah, how do you give them up? I think you want to keep those shoes until you're an old man like me, Nico. I really do. Yeah, you agreed a little too quickly with that old man statement there, Nico, but yeah, it's a neat item. And if you were going to sell them, I wouldn't sell them now. They're not in the playoffs. They're getting a little bit of bad publicity. I would hold them and sell them in the future. So it's already time for another break here. The number is 312-332-3776. We're on till 8. Taking your questions about the value of your collectibles and giving away a John Drummond signed book to one caller or tweeter. If you tweet T Crown Tom a picture of an item we use on the show, you get in the drawing also. So hang in there. We'll be right back.
Now back to Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan.
Welcome back. I'm Tom Morgan with Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery and Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions. We're on till 9 taking your questions about the value of your collectibles. And you can tweet a picture of an item. You can call us 312-332-3776 or tweet a picture of an item. Rob on Twitter sent a picture of something that I don't even know what this is. It looks like it might be a get-in free card for the Chicago Cubs from 1936, admit Alderman William L. Dawson, Wrigley Field, 1936. And it's looks like it's got a stamped signature from Wrigley on it. So I guess, now, Bill, I saw that you guys in the May Huggins and Scott auction, you have a President Calvin Coolidge personal 1923 National League season pass, the earliest known presidential pass. Now that we know is valuable, that's got a $500 minimum bid. But have you ever seen one of these, like from an alderman, or you know, to get in on a game from the 30s?
They issued those. The league issued some, and teams also issued them for just different people. I don't know how you qualified to get one. Really, it may have been at the discretion of either the league or the owners of the individual teams, but they've become collectible over the years. They're a lot of times it depends on, you're right, whose name is on it. Who was the person that was eligible to get into games for free? The bigger the name, the bigger the value.
Yeah, it's pretty cool regardless. Here's another one. Timothy sent a picture of an item, a letter from Art Modell to my dad, after he wrote to him about the worst trade in Browns history. Okay, it's Office of the President, dated April 20th, 1976. And dear Mr., and I won't say the last name, it was nice of you to write and express your thoughts. Sure, he was probably like sending him, you bleep and bleep, you know, and all this stuff. Yes. Nice of you to write and express your thoughts about my organization, as well as your feelings regarding Paul Warfield, which was, he was a great receiver, and how you trade him. Come on, what do you, even at this time, I could see if you were a Browns fan not being happy with that. We think Paul will add another dimension to our club as a player, as well as adding some intangibles that come only with an all-pro like Paul. if you were, oh, maybe this is when they got him back at the end of his career then. If you were my caddy back in the 60s, I can understand how you arrived in Illinois. The way I played golf, I would have driven anyone out of the state. Sincerely, Art Modell. What do you think of a value of that one? It's got some comedy in there. It's got some. Bill, is that an auction item or is that not enough?
Well, I would probably lean toward the lesser side, only because of, you know, I just don't know how many real big Art Modell fans are out there.
I think there might be a lot of people who don't like Art Modell from moving the team and everything.
Do you know the details of that trade in 1970? The Browns had Warfield and traded him to Miami for a draft pick, which ended up being?
1970 draft pick? Not Larry Zonka.
Mike Phipps. Mike Phipps.
Yes. Oh, okay. Well, this one is dated 1976, though. Was Warfield traded back to the Browns later on then?
And then he went back and finished, I believe he finished his then career.
Okay, so they basically traded him in his prime and then got him back when he was washed up. The Mets do that a lot, or they have. The Cubs used to do that in the old days, too. But Neil from LaGrange is online. What do you have there, Neil?
Hey, what's up, guys?
How are you?
I am doing great. I got my Oriole stuff again.
All right.
I got a, I was down at, Ironbird Fest. That's the Ironbirds are, the A-ball team for Baltimore. Cal Ripken owns them.
Okay.
And I got a shirt that, I bought there and I was wearing that Mike Flanagan signed and Don Buford was the manager there, believe it or not. Mike Flanagan was the GM for the Orioles at the time and we know what happened to him.
Don Buford, that was a bad trade by the White Sox, actually trading him to the Orioles, I thought. Bill Huggins, have you ever been to that fest?
Yes, actually. You talking about the stadium where the Ironbirds play? It's not about 45 minutes from me here, right up I-95.
Ah, very cool.
Yeah, that's a nice stadium.
Yeah, it's actually
done
as a mini. If you're driving by on I-95, it looks like a mini version of Camden Yards. You see this, I think it's a Holiday Inn or a Marriott or something. That looks like...
Yeah, you know what that is? Actually, that's not the Ironbird Stadium. The stadium's right outside of that. He rebuilt that in honor of his dad. That's a miniature Camden Yards, and they play Little League championships there. But it's literally a miniature Camden Yards, and they built a hotel right in back of it that looks just like that power plant in back of Camden Yards. It's just unbelievable to see what they did.
All right, very good.
That's a beautiful place.
Now, we actually, last week's winner of the prize tweeted me a picture. Eddie won the box and the pack. He actually got in that box of Contenders Draft, he got an autographed number 2 of 15 of Treadwell, who I think was a first-round pick wide receiver of the Vikings. So that's a pretty valuable card.
Nice hit.
Getting those low-numbered autographs out of Contenders. So that was one. People weren't responding to that. Eddie finally responded, got it delivered to him, and got a good card out of it.
Very nice.
So
and Vince didn't open it before he got it.
It was tough, Bill. But, you know, Tom's note to remind me that this was for the radio show and not for my personal consumption.
Yeah. I had an electronic thing on there. If Vince started to rip the wrapping, it would shock him.
I was afraid.
Okay. Now, don't forget the Huggins and Scott May auction bidding begins tomorrow, May 9th, and runs through May 19th. You can go to HugginsandScott.com. And now, Bill, if you can see all the auction items are up there now, but Bill, if somebody hasn't registered with you yet, can they just call Huggins and Scott during the week and get registered that quickly where they could bid on this May auction?
Absolutely. We can register people literally in 5 to 10 minutes. It doesn't take that long. It's just a matter of some questions that need to be answered. And actually, you can do it all online if you'd like, or you can call our offices. We can do it while you're on the phone. Either way works just fine.
So there is something at HugginsandScott.com that they could register if they wanted to right through there.
Yep, a lot of people do that. It's just a matter of filling in all the little questions and everything, and then we will email you a confirmation, and all you have to do is click on the email as a respondent, it automatically activates your account.
Okay. You know, speaking of the Orioles, Bill, did you happen to see the at-bat last week when Chris Sale was pitching against the Orioles, and I think it was Trumbo that struck out on a slider breaking down and into him that it hit him squarely in the knee? The pitch hit him squarely in the knee. This was like, to think of a guy that can throw 98 and he's got a slider that's like a wiffle ball type pitch. I mean, that happens in wiffle ball, or it used to when we used to play wiffle ball a lot. You know, it would break so far.
Yep.
But to think that a major league pitcher could it's breaking that much, it hit him square in the knee when he. I don't know that I've seen people where it looked like they might have gotten tipped by a pitch or whatever, but to get hit squarely in the knee, and then he kind of just sheepishly walks off, like with a little, like, kind of grin on his face. Oh.
Sale's off to a great start.
Yeah.
7-0. He's on fire.
What did they say? That's the best, the first time a White Sox pitcher's been 7-0 in over 100 years.
Yeah.
A lot of things over 100 years, yep, that Chicago baseball's
not used to having. Yeah. Don't know how to feel.
A lot of good things happening that no one is actually used to.
Cubs as the favorite to win the World Series, that's unthinkable.
That I don't know that that's, I suppose there's been times that that's happened in our lifetimes, but I don't know when.
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
We're at Mother's Day, and the Cubs, the White Sox, the Orioles, and the Nationals are all in first place.
Isn't that something?
It's a great vibe. Love it.
Boy. Yep. So if two of the four of those teams are in the World Series, that'll be good.
We have some stuff to talk about.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it would especially be, I guess, good if it was one from each city, but yep. I don't know, a Cubs-White Sox.
Yeah, then there may be a little action going on.
Yeah, there might have to be. Now,
Cubs against Washington and Sox against Baltimore to get to the World Series. That would be the perfect.
If that potentially could happen.
Absolutely.
Hopefully Scherzer has got it. Of course,
I'm not sure.
Playoffs don't count to fantasy anymore. You know, speaking of putting money on something, I won $1 from my wife yesterday on the Kentucky Derby.
Did you really?
I had Nyquist, and I picked that early, you know, and that was the heavy favorite. She had Exaggerator, so was coming up there at the end.
There was
a dollar riding on it, too, but I did, and she did pay me. We actually had, we each picked two horses every year, and I was actually, it looked for a while there that Destin was going to be second, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I picked the two of them.
Oh, there you go.
And I was saying, and I'm like, I didn't actually put money on this. I was hoping he didn't, because I'm like, I should have actually bet on that if he would have. But that Exaggerator looked like he was going to pull it out there at the end, too.
He looks good. I had that perfecta. I had Nyquist and Exaggerator.
Oh, did you really?
So,
wow.
Yeah, I did okay on that.
How much did it pay?
I think it paid like $30 or something like that.
For every two?
Had it a few times.
Yeah. So. Good. Well, that's good. All right.
I was going to say, speaking of your pitching staff, actually, Colon's been doing pretty well lately.
Yes.
Yesterday.
Yeah, he got a win. Yeah. And that was going to be a quiz, Bill, for the show.
Sorry.
I was going to say to guess the only player on my fantasy team that hit a home run yesterday, and it's a trick question. And the trick question being, it didn't count because it was a pitcher, Bartolo Colon. And he's the old, wasn't he the oldest or second oldest in history? That was the first homer
oldest,
in his
oldest,
career.
42 years old, first home run, and he's on your team.
Yeah. I should get credit for that.
You should.
I really should. I think I'm gonna send a letter to the commissioner. All right, the bidding starts tomorrow. HugginsandScott.com, the Huggins and Scott May auction. There's a 1927 New York Yankees World Series press pin. Now, that's one of the, usually when, if you've got five teams in history for baseball that you're talking the best team ever, the 1927 Yankees are usually one of those five teams, and a lot of people just automatically still consider that the best team ever. Bill, as far as World Series press pins go, is that one of the more valuable ones?
Oh, yes. I mean, it's probably not as valuable as you get back into the ones from the teens and stuff like that, but you're right. It's still the 27 Yankees, So the end, you know.
Yeah, it looked like it was in good shape too. They don't grade.
It is.
They don't grade those, do they? They just or do they?
No, I've never seen them grade those.
Yeah, I guess you just have to kind of. You put the picture up and explain to people how, you know, you see how good it looks.
Yep.
That looked like it was brand new almost, so that was nice. Also, a Neil Armstrong signed photo with an Apollo 11 inscription. I guess he didn't write that on a lot of his signed photos, the Apollo 11. That'll be interesting. You got a $400 minimum bid on that one. There's always, I think he's one of the top, if not the most valuable signature from the astronauts. He's one of the top, right, Bill?
Oh, yeah. He, you know, I mean, gosh, he's the first guy to walk on the moon. It doesn't get any bigger than him, really.
Yeah.
He'll never lose his number one ranking. I'm pretty certain.
No,
of that.
That's true. Yep. That's true. And Walter Cronkite doing the announcing on it.
Can you do a Walter Cronkite? I know you got Sean Connery down. Can
you know,
do Cronkite?
I'll have to work on it. Right, I think I could.
Week.
I think
okay.
I could. But the two things that Walter Cronkite, the first step on the moon and also when Kennedy was shot and his, the way, you know, the video of that, those are two of the most, probably, he was such a big name in news at the time. Those are probably two of the things he'll be remembered for the most.
Yep.
Now, as far as people bringing in items to Triple Crown in Naperville, or if I tweet a picture of an item, this was something, I think I tweeted a picture of this one. Brett has a Bart Starr boldly signed Wilson football with the Pete Rozelle commissioner stamp on it. So Bill Huggins, now an older football like that, how much does that help the value of a player who played like back in the 60s and he gets, and it's a signature on an older football? Does it help it at all?
Oh, 100%. I mean, and especially if it was a vintage signature that was signed back in the 60s versus one that he would have signed maybe at a show in the recent years. Or something.
Yeah.
Those are much more sought after than, you know, than the ones that, you know, are from today's day and age where he never even played with this type of football.
Yeah, to me, just the football itself looked neat, too. It had National Football League, American Football Conference, National Football Conference, and then Pete Rozelle commissioner on it. Looked like in real good shape.
Yeah, we've actually sold some just unsigned. I think they were called the Duke, most of those footballs. They had the Duke written on it and in quotes or something, and to find an unused ball in the box like that is $500 to $1,000.
Just for the ball? Oh, wow. So that means. Yeah, so Bart Starr sign on it, that would be big. Oh, well, it's already, the show's over and it's time to do another drawing.
Winfred from the West Side. Winfred, send me an email with your address, vince@ercdelivery.com. I'll get back to you and deliver free of charge to your door.
And the prize this week was the John Drummond signed book, It Ain't Pretty But It's Real.
That's right.
So,
yeah, if Neil Armstrong had won and he was going to the moon, does ERC deliver it?
I would find a way, Bill. I'll find a way.
ERC will do it no matter where it is. They'll figure out
That's
something.
Right.
Now, don't forget, bidding begins tomorrow at Huggins & Scott's May auction. Go to HugginsAndScott.com. And it goes till May 19th. I'm at Triple Crown in Naperville 6 days a week. ercdelivery.com. Have a great week, everybody. Thanks for listening.
The preceding program was a paid advertisement. The views reflected are not necessarily the views of ESPN 1000.